Hello everyone, welcome to another IT Career Talk with Professionals. And today we have a full stack developer. But before we continue, of course, we will always like to invite every one of you to like and subscribe our channel. So don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you can. So my guest today is Chris Wayne Comendador. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Rafi. Thank you for the invitation.
Right. So, Chris, let's get...
And hi, guys, to all watching.
Yes. So, Chris, can you describe to us what a full-stack developer is?
Ah, okay. So, a full-stack developer, basically, your role is, you know, from end-to-end of development, software development cycle. My workload varies, you know, depending on our you know, task and depending on the need. But mainly, you know, I handle work related to, you know, designing pages for our websites, because we're actually maintaining two websites for Chutara's Dojo. And then I'm also building custom features for our site, you know. And we usually based it on the feedback of the users, not like, you know, us giving the features to these users. We're basing more our feedback or our features more on, you know, the basic request of the users. And then, you know, going to the database issues, you know, I also try to solve, you know, if there are database issues in our infrastructure, and then monitoring our cloud resources. So if you notice, you know, it's medyo spread yung
right
workload.
So I guess the question here is what level of skills do you have to have both on the front and back? No, are they like, you know, you have to be super expert on both sides?
Mm-hmm. So that's a really good question, Rafi. You know, normally people would expect, you know, to be a full stack developer, you know, you'll have to a very high level of expertise on both front end and back end. And yes, you know, that would really help a lot if mm-hmm. you are really good at, you're really an expert. But if you want to do normally as a full stack developer, you know, you have like the average level on each of the part of the work. So front end, I know styling and scripts, JavaScript, but up to the left, I'm better than a really good front end developer. The same thing with back end developer. I know how to read scripts and, you know, try to develop scripts to work with database. But if you ask me, compared to a very professional that has been doing back end developer since, you can really see a difference. But the main key difference, I can actually look for those. Say for example, there's a requirement, you know. What's good thing with a full stack developer is that you kind of know how to work with both end of the stack. So you can do front end, you can do back end, and then, you know, you're able to understand what you need, and then try to find those things if you don't really know about it.
Right.
So it's quite, you know, spread thin if you are a full stack developer compared to when you are a dedicated back end developer and a front end dedicated front end developer.
Right. And in terms of time, how much time do you spend on, you know, being a front or on the back or maybe infrastructure? How's the time spent?
So normally I would be on specific, you know, we have actually projects, you know, that we want to accomplish. Say for example, there's a specific, you know, feature that we want to build, you know. Normally I spend less time doing the front end over doing the back end, but there's no specific time to, you know, as to which, because problems vary from time to time. But normally I really spend lesser time working on front end development than doing back end. So, and then also, of course, it also varies depending on the complexity of the problem. So yeah, normally on a day, because sometimes I do like whole week all back end. Because there's a feature that it should be more focused on back end than actually developing the designs and colors and typography for the so sometimes it can be like that, and sometimes I also work like just front end for the whole week,
right,
depending on the on the need.
When you're a full stack developer, do you still work with a team, or do you work with other full stack developers, or do you normally work with like you said, front end developers
and back end
developers?
I still work with the team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in our team, our technical team is called the DevSecOps team. So DevSecOps, development, security, and then operations. Our team, we are actually 3 plus our CEO and founder. So we're 4. Normally, if we are able to finish the work on our level, we try to finish those issues on our level. But the moment we get stuck for maybe 4 hours, 8 hours, or maybe 2-3 days working on a specific issue, then we try to escalate the issue with the team.
Right.
It is our always priority to make sure to share and bounce ideas. When we're trying to resolve issues, one thing I learned, Rafi, working with a development team is that before I usually tend to solve as if I really know everything before I go into the meeting. But what I really learned is that instead of trying to be the smartest guy in the meeting, in the room, you just have to focus on solving the problem instead. So you don't really have I have to know what's going on before, you just have to try to help, try to solve the problem instead of being the smartest guy in the room. So that's one thing I learned actually, working a lot with the team.
Right.
So we share issues, and then after sharing the issues, we try to try to resolve if there are also missed steps, because we usually have a playbook. And then if there are issues, we can try to check our playbook. Okay, so this is it. We check our playbook, and then after all that, then we still continue discussing until we get to a solution.
All right. And now, now that we are, Tutorials Dojo is servicing a worldwide customer base, no? And I would assume that your team could be also working remotely. How do you work remotely?
Yeah, that's kind of new also for me to do remote work, because I used to work with office, we report to the office time. So working remotely was kind of new at first, because you have to over communicate. I think the key is to always over communicate, because there are times that there are things that you want to explain, and then you actually done some of the steps, but you did not try to discuss it, on a communicate when you send the messages. So I think the key, we're also working with remotely, is over communication. I kind of like it, doing over communication, because I like to give details a lot when I try to when I communicate. So it was kind of fun. It's kind of fun doing it. And then though it comes with challenges also, because since I'm the only person in my room. So I don't get to interact, because when you go to the office, there are small talks, you kind of, try to mingle with people, and you can also get to do other activities other than just work, you know, you go, right, because right. I play basketball also. So I usually play a lot, like 3-4 times a day. Mm-hmm. But you know, but of course it's not because of the remote work entirely, but it's also because of the pandemic, you know. But you know, those are the things that are not there anymore. So but you know, hopefully of course pandemic will be you know, it will be better for us. So, and then remote work, what else?
Maybe you can highlight some tools or maybe some maybe procedures or tools, procedures, like do you have a checklist that you do?
Okay. So tools. So normally we work with boards, with Trello boards, and then Slack. Mm. So we keep the communication simple, and then the tracking of our work really simple, but at the same time, constant follow-up. So whenever there are tasks that should be done, you know, those are added to a project management software like Trello, and then we add those tasks, and then you know, we also do meetings on a weekly basis, and then as per needed. Say for example, there are features that needs to be discussed, mm-hmm. or maybe there are things that, you know, there needs to be a consensus before we come up to a solution. So we do those meetings via Google Meet or Skype, you know, depending on the availability, where's faster. And then so you know, those are the tools that we use, you know, to manage the team, and you know, to delegate also the tasks for everyone.
Right. Now let's go back. No, and ask how you got started on your IT career. Was this ever since you were little or when you were young? Mm-hmm. No, when you were young, did you always aspire to be in the IT field?
Yeah. So it's kind of a funny story, because you know, when I was in high school, I was already fond of computers, but I didn't really have the chance to explore, because you know, we come from a less privileged family, so it was kind of hard to get access to that.
Right. When you say you had fun in computers, was it like, you know, playing computer games, or was it like what? Kasi iba yung computers, no?
Yeah,
yeah. Computer mo yan, di ba? Iba yun, no?
Yeah. I did enjoy playing games, but I knew, you know, I wanted to learn more about it, how it works. But I never get the chance a lot, you know, because I was unable to not, because these are things that are not teach in school. Mm. So, you know, and I don't have access to internet before a lot. So it was kind of hard for me to learn more about it.
Right.
So when I tried to look for, when I graduated high school, I was looking for schools, and then one of the schools, I actually took an exam for STI, mm-hmm. Tacloban, because I'm from Tacloban later, Tacloban City later. And then I actually got a scholarship there for computer engineering.
All right.
But then I also took an exam here in Cebu. Mm-hmm. So I'm here in Cebu right now. It's a year course. Information technology course. So, you know, I was kind of deciding what school to choose. You know what? Because, you know, everybody would think I would go for the computer engineering right away, you know, 100%
scholarship, right?
Scholarship. And then, you know, but then I decided, you know, I want to go to Cebu. Because the entrance exam for this school, the name of the Center for Industrial Technology and Enterprise, it focuses more on discipline rather than the technical skills. But pride in technical skills a lot. Hmm. So I was thinking, you know, if I stay here in Tacloban, you know, I'd be just going with my friends, you know, I'd be comfortable. So right. I wanted to be uncomfortable, you know, try to make sure that, you know, I'll be more responsible, because at that time I was also, you know, I played a lot, basketball, mm-hmm. a lot. So I was thinking to Cebu, And then the three-year program is actually 1.5 in school, 1.5 in the industry.
Okay.
So for 1.5 year, I tried to learn my skills, you know, basically just the entry-level skills, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, PHP, mm-hmm. Cake PHP, because Cake PHP was in during that time. So that was part of our curriculum. And then I was able to work on the second half of my 3 years in our school as a practice teacher and then as a technical support in GMC, General Milling Corporation. So with that, you know, but I was not into the development. I was not given an option, an OJT for development. But I really wanted to do that way before. So after that, I graduated, and then my first work was actually for a publishing company here in Cebu. It was 10 Minutes the PH. It was formerly 10 Minutes the PH. The website is not up anymore, but 10 Minutes the PH, and then I worked as a content creator and website developer.
Okay.
So, you know, so I got the chance to work as a website developer. Mm-hmm. Now, I was really lucky to have a mentor by that time who was into blogging, because I really like to join outside activities activities after school. So I think that really helped me a lot. I tried to join blogging events to get to know more people in the blogging industry, because mm-hmm. they also know how to, you know, they work with websites also. And then luckily I landed my first job as a content creator and website developer there. And then for 2 years I did that work, and then after that I decided to teach. I was given the chance again to teach in the same school that I graduated from. So I taught software development subjects there, mainly object-oriented programming, structured programming, data structures, or anything or subjects related to programming. I was also able to, because we have this project before there was a sponsor, and then we trained 101 IT professionals.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that wanted to change their career from hardware into software development, because we really felt like, you know, software development is gonna be, you know, really strong in the next few years.
Yes.
There's a lot of application to that. It's not just website application. There's mobile application, and there's machine learning and all. So we really thought, you know, it would be good to supply, you know, since we have the sponsor for the project. So, you know, it would be good to create a program for IT professionals all over Cebu. You know, and we were able to do that actually. And then some of them were actually, because to do that also, we actually had a consultation from a developer in London. He was the one who designed the course for us. So in that time, I actually learned a lot also, you know, aside from the existing skill set that I had, you know, I was able to have the opportunity to learn how to teach the stack.
Right.
But, and then after five years of working as teacher, you know, I decided, I want to try going into the industry now. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, check it out, because there's a lot of opportunities also. So, you know, this is where I am right now. I tried to apply with the team for the full stack position, and then I got the work as a full stack developer. Aside from that, actually, I was also working on some side gigs. And I think the main factor that got me in was actually the side gigs, I was doing side projects, and it helped me a lot also to build my portfolio.
Right. No? Speaking about what you mentioned, yung side gigs and having a portfolio, and you mentioned that this is like a big contributing factor for you to be being hired. No? What did you do, or what did you had to show to Sir John that, you know, in terms of portfolio, or maybe like how many portfolio did you have to show to be presentable, to be hired? No?
So when I presented, when I did the interview with John, I showed, you know, my best work, actually. You know, normally you put all of the work that you had before, but I decided, you know, it's also important that, you know, you only show those work that you are confident to show.
Right.
So I basically had 3 sites up and running by that time, that were, you know, I was confident to show during the interview and the whole process. And then as to how was I able to get the job, you know, I was, one thing I really, when I tried to start looking for work, I really knew that portfolio was really an edge, because it shows how much you know. It shows what you can do, and then it will help you answer technical questions a lot, you know. So that's one thing I prioritized. And the number two is to be, you know, of course, this is really underrated, but the way you send your CVs and then the way you respond to recruiters or to HR really matters a lot. In fact, it was one thing that they said to me, because I was really professional in it, was you know, in the communications during those process. It's kind of neglected a lot, you know, just send the CV and then, you know, no more messages and all, just send the CV and that's it. But that actually also helped. In fact, that also helped us in doing our next hires. Mm-hmm. It is a really good measure also for us. Oh, okay, so this guy is really professional. He really communicates well. And then one thing is, I tried to, as much as possible, just give the value I can give to the company with the skill set that I have. And also, I think John was also looking, I was also coming from an education background.
Right.
And Chortorius Dojo is an EdTech company.
Correct.
So it's still related to education. So I think that was also one thing, you know, that helped me, you know, get there. But John was really mentioning a lot that my portfolio really, you know, really was also one of the main factors, actually, when he made the decision. So I do think that portfolio really helped me a lot. And, you know, I'm so thankful also for the guys who trusted me to make those websites.
right. So your last question I have, no, is basically advice, no? So to our viewers that are watching, no, who are potentially maybe, you know, thinking about, as you mentioned, they could be going into the IT career from another career, or, you know, they're just about to go into the workforce. What's your advice to them?
So one is to be hungry to learn. I really think you really have to have that energy to be hungry to learn new things, mm-hmm. and new stuff, and don't get scared to, you know, and don't get too overwhelmed right away when there are new things that you want to learn. And then because that's one thing I really you know, struggle, but at the same time work on it. Mm-hmm. I really make sure, though, I I'm overwhelmed with all this information, at still the same time try to, you know, see it through.
Right.
And then aside from that is that practical advice, build your portfolio. You really have to build your portfolio. Show it in any way. You can set up a website, you know, spend a little amount to make your website up. In that way also, you will learn. In fact, you will learn a lot of things when you're trying to build your portfolio. Start small. Start small. Start working with really small projects, you know, small projects for yourself, small projects for other people.
So again, audience, if, you know, you like the advice or you resonate with the story, now always feel free to message us below, right? You can comment, and if let's say you are maybe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can also, you know, message me as well as the author. No? So before we goodbye to our audience, Chris, do you have any last shout out?
Oh, shout out to our team in Chatorias Dojo. John, Stace, Em, Kaloy, and to all our admin staff, you know, for, you know, building the Chatorias Dojo platform for IT certification. And if you guys are interested to also get your IT certifications from cloud providers like AWS, Azure, in fact, and Google Cloud Platform, you know, you can always check out our website, portal.tutorialsdojo.com, and you can, you know, you can try to check out our reviewers if you want to prepare for your exams.
Right.
So that's it.
All right. No. And audience, you know, I believe there. This is a purely Filipino team. No, it's a world class. Yes. EdTech solution that's really on a purely it's really world class, I would say. No, you have hundreds of thousands or even millions of students built by Filipinos. Now I sometimes look at it like, you know, if I remember Quick Labs when I met their team, I believe they were like, their size was like and they were already global, no, around 5 to 6 people only. I look at it, oh, it's like Tutorials Dojo also, no? It's a global company used by hundreds and millions of students. And it's still a very much lean team as well. All right, so thank you so much. And our audience, hope you have a good day.
Bye!
And of course, if you like our content, don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe button, and notification bell.